fast.
Okay. So let's first finish up the issue. There's one last issue we have to finish up, and then we're going to start this, what you guys prepared. Okay? Last issue was, the Gemara says that, I don't know if we read it last time. Did we read it last time? We didn't, right? Who's up for reading? Who should read today? Say, Yonah, have you read before? No. So a person must do what? Yeah. Interesting, right? Every shah. What does every shah mean? So does he... Well, that sounds... It sounds more like what Rafi's saying. It doesn't mean like at 9 and 10 and 11. It means constantly. Now, of course, if we took that literally, that'd be bizarre. Because then I don't understand, like, how would you ever daven? What are you doing this the entire time?
At all times, like, there's always, like, this constant, like, it's already, like, at some point, you got to remember to do this, you got to remember this, you got to do this. Like, it's always an obligation there. It's not that you constantly have to, you know.
Right. Yeah. Okay, I agree. Keep going.
They say you should be nervous, you know.
Yeah, that's it. Like,
right. Right, it's good. You're right.
That's what it sounds like.
You're right. Keep going. It's an actual. The Rambam brings it down to halacha. Did you know that? Keep going. What's the tzitz? Good. Okay. So what does it say? It says umatzitz. Keep going. Which is what the one azkara? There's one shem Hashem on it, right? Right. Amra. Tamid. Mimenu. So the Gemara already plays his hand. Gemara is telling you, what's the problem here? What's the problem with the tzitz? When you have the Shem Hashem, you can never have what's called Hesech Hadas. What's Hesech Hadas? Okay, so give me an example. I'll give you an example. Like the Gemara in Brachos, right? Okay, so let's say you make a motzi, okay? All right, so Gemara says, after I make a motzi, I could still say, Yonah, here's a piece of bread for you. Before I've eaten. Okay, why? Right, so Hesech Hadas would be, if I make the bracha of a motzi, and I tell Yonah the Jets got killed last night. That's Hesech Hadas, right? Yeah, they got killed. All right? That'd be Hesech Hadas, right? That's interruption. So what do you see? What do you see? You see that the Kohen Gadol must always be thinking about the tzitz. And that has how many names of God on it? One. So it's a funny Kal Vachomer, right? Tefillin, Sheyesh Behen, Azkaras Harbe. How's the Gemara conclude? The Kama, even more so. So what's going on over here? I don't. It's not such a difficult thing, I don't think. What's the Gemara's point? Why is there such a halacha? You would have thought, when I do the Maisa Hanacha, that what happens afterwards? I'm Yotze, right? So clearly this is showing you something else going on. But what is it about this halacha? We've said this all along. What's the... See, this is when I tell you guys, there's an important understanding of Gemara methodology. We call like a... You develop a working svara. Our working svara all along has been the idea of being adorned in tefillin, right? And then Gemara after Gemara proves this approach, proves the theory. This is a proof of our theory. When you put on tefillin, it's not just about the maisa hanacha, but what do you have to be? What? Right, it's a din of being adorned. So now this halacha is going to really emphasize that point. Why? But, good, right? That's true. But no one's saying I have to do this constantly, right? But that can't be. It can't be. I'm saying no one learns halacha like that. No. What's the Gemara telling you? In other words, right, okay. So what's the challenge that tefillin's going to present? See, this is where to give Rafi a little room. What? You got to stop. I'm going to kill you. You'll like this because it will put a little contextualization around this. Okay, because we don't wear tefillin all the time today, right? But imagine you wore tefillin all day. Think about that for a second, okay? So what's the problem that naturally will emerge through?
You get distracted in improper things.
Well, you don't have to be so negative. Just more. You're right, but what? Right, meaning that when you wear something for a long period of time, right? It's, again, let's take your shirt, okay? Exactly. In other words, since I'm wearing this all day, you don't think about the fact that you're wearing a shirt, right? But tefillin demands a recognition of the state of the gavra. There's a demand in tefillin that you always are aware that you're wearing tefillin. That doesn't mean you have to touch it all the time, but the Gemara's telling you, you have to have that in the back of the mind that I should touch it every so often, to remind myself I'm in the state. So the very nature of wearing tefillin all day produces this problem. Yes, there. You were bothered by the tzitz point. But they're using the tzitz because the tzitz personifies the idea of... There's a general clause by the Kohen Gadol. A lot of the begadim are set up. I'll give you an example. The me'il. What was the me'il? What was the me'il? It wasn't the apron. It's like the coat. Okay? Me'il means coat, but... Okay, but what was it made out of, right? What? Tchilas, okay? Okay, now, what was on the bottom of the me'il? Okay, there was something called a rimon, which is a round piece of cloth, right? And a pa'amon. There's a machlokus whether it was this or one or the other, which you could define on your own. But anyway, but what was the purpose of the pa'amon? Why was there a bell? Who would know? No. Part of the reason, I think it was a Ramban, the Kohen Gadol should always be reminded that he's Omer L'fnei Hashem. So whenever you hear the bells ring, every time he'd move, he'd always be reminded, I am standing before God. The tzitz is a similar idea. When you're wearing the Shem Hashem, that's a certain awareness that you're wearing the Shem Hashem. You know? This is a very, very difficult conceptual area. Very, very difficult. You'll see why. If you spotted the questions, I mean, there's so many questions to ask on this next chunk. Okay? All right, so start with the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Okay. So what's the problem? The problem is the Torah says what? V'hayalacha le'os al yadcha. So the tefillin should be an os on your arm. Okay, now, to make it simple for now, we're going to learn yad meaning arm. We'll get to later on why that should be the case. But for now, take it as what? But just take it for now as yad. Take it for now that yad means arm. Okay, you're right. All right? If you're a Karaite, what does it mean?
Your hand.
Your hand, okay. Yeah. No, they don't have boxes. But the point is, but they do put it on their arms.
What does Totepo mean to people?
They ask them. They're up in the Gun of the Samaritans. They're up on which one? Hargrizim or Haival? Yeah, the Samaritans also do it. What's the Gemara trying to work out now? The Gemara wants to know which arm to put tefillin on, right? Okay, now stop for a second before you go on. We have to put a certain premise in place here, okay? The premise must be... No. In other words, that we know at the end of the day, halacha lemaisa, right, that your tefillin's going to go on your left arm. That's masoretic. That's masoretic, okay? What the Gemara was struggling with is what? You should know by now. What's the Gemara struggling with?
How to get to left.
In other words, the starting point is, the Torah says, v'hayalacha lo'os al yadcha. And the end point is, it's going to be on your left arm. The question is, how do you get from A to Z? That's what the Gemara is going to struggle with now. Is that clear? That's very important. The Gemara is not suggesting we didn't know that it was going to be on your left arm. It always knew it was going to be on the left arm. But how do we get there? Okay, that's the hard part. Okay. So the Gemara says, yadcha means small. Now let me ask you a question. Is there anything in the word yad that tells you it's left? No. Yeah.
Why does it matter?
That's a good question. Why does it matter? Meaning, it's a good question. It shouldn't matter, right? And yet, we'll see from the answers, according to which sides it's an intrinsic problem versus not. Okay? Was that like a reaction to what you said?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Go on, Sean.
A ton of
Isn't that such a great? How come you guys weren't laughing when you read this? I laughed. The Gemara's question is absurd. The Gemara's like, so Gemara says yad means small. Gemara says, or maybe means right, right? In other words, the Gemara says yadcha means left, and the Gemara says ata omer small. You're saying left, maybe it's right. Meaning, there's nothing in the word yad that tells you it's left. Obviously, right? Right? Whatever. Right? Okay. Go on. Okay, so what do you see in that verse? Okay, don't forget what it translates into. There's two words you have to look for. Okay, so you see yad, which means literally hand, and yamin, which means right. So therefore, the Gemara, again, without me reading ahead, the Gemara is obviously deducing that if it's going to say, if you're going to use the word yamin, yamin must be referring to, obviously, right. So therefore, the word yad must default to mean, okay, who buys that? You buy it? Oh, okay. You don't feel like arguing? Okay. We'll see. Keep going. Teach Lach now. Amelim. Good. Again, same thing. Pasuk number two. Yad and Yamina. And then also Omer. One more Pasuk. Okay, so obviously, what's the Gemara telling you? There are three examples where Yad is left because Yamin is mentioned. Okay, what are some of the problems? What do you notice? What's interesting about the Gemara? Yes. But what's the main question here? Before you ask the question, what's the main question here? What do we have to explain? Okay, the Gemara is a half. There is a real, other than what Mordechai said, there is a real Havmina. The Gemara is saying you would have thought. The Gemara says Yud means left. The Gemara says Hayino means left. Maybe it means right. Right? Oh, I'll show you why Yad means left, because when he uses the word, when he wants to describe the right hand, it'll use the word Yamin. Right?
Yeah,
1 second. That is the main Havmina. That's the main Havmina. So what's important to understand here is like this, is that initially, step one is the Gemara says, Yad means left, right? But there's nothing telling you that Yad has to mean left. So then the Gemara is forced to go to these psukim to tell you that when it says, for some reason, when it describes the right, it uses Yamin. But the fact you have to go to Yeshayahu is a problem. Because when you go to Yeshayahu, you're abandoning any source of the Torah, right? We don't like that. We don't like that. Okay? What's your question? Wait, now read the next Shita. Does everyone understand that? First question is, what's this whole business of Yad versus Yamin? Okay? Sean, next one. Rav Yossi. That's always bad. That's always bad. That's very bad. It's very, very bad in Gemara. Very bad. When Tanakama is made out to look like a fool. Because what's Rav Yossi's kasha? His kasha is, you didn't do your research. Right? Turns out, there's a pasuk in the Torah that clearly says what? Right? Yad Yimino. What's wrong with saying Yad Yimino?
Why would you have to say Yad? Yad, meaning you wouldn't have to say Yad.
Yimino is a qualifier. Always,
right. If Yamin means right, then just say Yimino. What does it say Yad Yimino for? That's, so let me ask you a question. I mean, I don't know if you guys started thinking about this yet. You should have, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Well, we're not ready to answer this yet.
Husk you bring last time was this
husk. Oh, okay. What was Tanakama thinking? This is such a simple question asked. This is like, this is like Gemara 101. How could Tanakama, let's assume Tanakama knew, well, you have two approaches you could take. Tanakama was not aware of the Pesukim in the Torah. That's kind of odd. It's possible. Or what? Because Rav Yossi is exposing him as, in some sense, a fraud. He's saying, you went to these three psukim in Nach to find a proof? What are you talking about? In the Torah itself, it says, Yad Yimino. That undermines your entire position. So what you're going to have to answer is, how does Tanakama defend himself? That's the hard part. Think about it. The Gemara is not exposing Tanakama as being wrong. It's just saying, Rav Yossi shows him there's a problem. Your job is going to be to defend Tanakama. Not yet. Let's finish. I want to get all the facts down first. Yes. Rav Yossi saying when the pasuk says Yad Yimino, it's superfluous. It's redundant. If you learn it the first way, it can't mean what? It can't mean left and right, right? Because if Yad means left and Yimino means right, you can't read the pasuk to say that he saw his father. The whole thing, with all the facts first. It doesn't make sense to read the pasuk to say that Yosef saw his father extend his left right.
Okay, no, but can you read it as
No. First of all, leaning. Vayar Yosef Yosef Yad Yimino, I was refined. Right, it's a mercha tipcha. It's one thing. Yeah, no, impossible. Impossible. Okay? Okay. You see, ever see the problem? It's very bad. It's very bad. Very, very bad. So the Gemara is bothered as well. Sean, what does the Gemara say? V'idach. So he answers it. He says what? He says, no. Again, you guys don't laugh at this stuff. His answer sounds like a cop-out. What's his answer? It's a cop-out. He's saying...
No, it doesn't just say Yad on its own.
Well, okay, 1 second. So it turns out we have three things. If it says Yad on its own, it's what? If it says Yamino on its own, it's... But it could also say, come on. How can you buy that as an answer? See, this is a comical discussion here. Without... Okay, so Nassim says, what does Einot Tzarech mean? What don't we need? Meaning, forget darshaning out from Sukkim. We don't need that. Okay? Now, again, we're going to have to understand what makes his approach different. But he's saying, what are you going to Yeshayahu for? Forget that. I can just show you what, like, I guess we'll see intuitively why Yad means left. How? How are you, Omer? Okay. Okay, so what's he saying? What's he saying?
You write with your right hand.
Okay, well, let's go in order. Ukshartem, uksaftam. One comes right after the other. Okay. Ksiva is done with what hands? Who said?
That's just what you do.
That's what you do. Okay.
That's an axiom of life.
Well, 1 second. But is it a halacha? Or is it just that majority of people have it right with the right hand? Well, let's talk about Ksiva Tzvillin. The Asafris. What? No. Okay. Now let me ask you a question. But let's understand the logic of the Gemara. Okay? You write with your right hand. Okay? And Ukshartem and Uksaftem are next to each other. So therefore you could deduce that if you write with your right hand, you also tie with your right hand. Right? But correct? No, you'll see from Tosos. It happens to be Ksiva in general. Okay, not just by Tefillin. But let me ask you a question. What's odd about this? What's odd about the reasoning here? Think about this, okay? So the Gemara is not saying there's any... Someone asked a question before, why the left hand, right? The first conceptual thing you should see from this case here is that there's nothing intrinsic in the left arm. Nothing at all. You know why you put your Tefillin on your left arm? Logistics. Because you have to tie it with which arm? So think about the logistical challenge you're going to have if you're going to tie it, right, and do what else with your right hand? Like this. You can't do that. In other words, there's no reason why it should be your left arm. It's just your left arm for what? Practicality. Which therefore answers Joel's question, according to second Shita, it could have been either arm.
Assuming you're left.
To make it clear, the first side saying, there's an inherent reason from the Torah or Ksuvim of left, right? Second guy saying, there's no reason why you have to do left. You're only doing left because if I put my tefillin on my right arm and I have to tie my right arm, how would that work? How would I be able to do it? Right? It would be very difficult. So practicality, put it on my left, and then I can tie it on my right. Yes. Minale. But now we have a question of Yossi. Where does he learn this from? Where does he learn how it goes to your left? So what's his answer? Rabbi Nassan, right? It's meaning that, what does he do? He agrees to Rabbi Nassan. He agrees that there's nothing intrinsic about left. Now the third position, okay? There's really Tanakhama. There's Rabbi Nassan equals Rabbi Yossi. There's Rabbi Yossi was actually a Kashi and Tanakhama. Tanakhama is the guy who learns it out from three Pesukim. Tanakhama. The Tanakhama means the silent, the first position who's not named. That's the first dude. It's called Tanakhama. That's what we call him. Yeah. It's just called Tanakhama. Okay. What about the last one? Rav Ashi Amar. The Yadcha. Behei. Keha. Okay. Anyone figure out what this meant? That's why I gave you this, by the way, for that very reason. This is the worst of all the answers. Okay? Let's go slow. Hold on, go slow. You want to explain what it means? Factually. Okay, so...
So, like, Dr. Wasserman, and he said, yeah, no.
See, that's a lucky ocean name. No, it's okay, yeah.
It means a weak head.
Okay, but let's go. Okay, so go, take a step back. It says in the Torah, right, it says, Yud Dalet Chaf He. What should it have said? Chaf Sofit, right? Right? Okay. Why is it extra hay there?
Because,
extra hay?
The hay makes it feminine, and it's a weak arm.
Right. Right. The hay makes it feminine. Feminine implies less strong or weak. Which one's your weak arm? Okay. Of course. What? Right. So, do we buy this? So the Gemara itself doesn't buy it. So the Gemara comes along and says, Amar Leh, right? He says to him, what? Rabbi Abba the Ravashi, right? Ve'ema. So what's that kasha? What's the kasha? Ema Yadchab Shabakoach. Meaning what? Why? So don't you're so convinced that since there's a hay there, it must mean weaker. Turns out you're wrong. We could also learn out that yadcha with the hay means stronger, and maybe it means your right arm. So again, the whole line of reasoning is. Okay, go on. So the Gemara says, Amar Leh. Beches. Okay. So, because it turns out the letter hey as a modifier doesn't always mean weaker. There are certain times, I'll give it to you tomorrow, I'll show you the acronym. There's certain times where actually you need an acronym for this. There's certain times where it actually means stronger. So what's pushing you one way or the other? Okay? Meaning, this is the hard part, which no one's going to like. Meaning, the letter hey and the letter ches are very what?
Don't say similar.
Are very what?
Similar.
I'm just the shaliach. That's all I am, my friend. But it doesn't have a ches there. It has a hey. Meaning that you're telling me that a ches and hey are similar. That's not true. But here it's an obvious ches. Excuse me, it's an obvious hey. You need an obvious ches to say it's koach. So what's the Gemara's conclusion? Gemara includes kitznai. Behei. Right, zu small. And achayim omrim. Et a gidim. Who's the gidim, by the way? Who's that guy? It's a great case. Who's a gidim? What? Okay, well, how far up? What? His wrist. We'll get to machlokas, actually. Right, that's a leg. Okay? We'll get to that. That's going to be the next case. Okay. What? Oh, well, no, missing arm and then lefty.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we'll get. No, it's missing arm, ambidextrous, lefty. Lefty comes in the ambidextrous case. Okay? All right. So let's just get our facts straight here. Okay? The first side says, yad means left. Then the Gemara says, no, that could also mean right. Okay? Then the Gemara says, no, I'll show you why it means left. Because you have all these psukim from Yeshayahu that show you that the pasuk says yad, right? And then says yamin. And yamin obviously means right. So the default for yad becomes left. And then Rav Yossi comes along and says, yeah, but we see in the Torah, yad yamino. So what would you need to say that for? And then his answer is that there's actually three things. There's yad, yamin, and yad yamino. How do we make sense of this? What's bothering, what's going on over here? You don't get to talk first. But now I'm going to, let's take a step back. Okay. What does the Gemara want? That's true. Right, so what is it searching for, ideally? What does it want to see in the Torah?
A place that says,
Yad means... V'hayah os al smol. Okay? That's what it wants, obviously. In other words, the Gemara, you have to understand what the Gemara is seeking. This Gemara wants... Wait a second. The Gemara wants it to say left, but unfortunately, it does not. Okay. So now we're stuck with Yadcha. Okay? Okay. So the first move the Gemara is going to make, naturally, is to say that you want the word Yad in the Torah to in other words, the generic term Yad to default as left. That's the first move the Gemara is going to make. When I see Yad in the Torah, what do I want it to mean? Right, meaning the default of Yad, in other words, when I see the word Yad, the default is always left. Right? Okay, good. And the psukim, right, bear that out. Because what do the psukim show you? What?
That ray is a modifier. It always modifies
yad. No. Not.
You have to tell me when it's right.
Okay, good. Right. Meaning that. Okay, good. One second. So that's strong. That's a strong argument. Because what that will show you is that if I have a pasuk that says yad and yamin, so what does that tell me? It tells me that what's the relationship of the yad to the yamin? Right. Okay. Well, not yet. Don't play that card yet. Right. In other words, if I have a pasuk that says yamin is right, right, then what does yad have to mean? Left. Right. That's a positive identification of yad, of small. You understand? In other words, if I have a verse that has right, like the word yamin, and then yad, right? What I have to deduce from that is that the word yad positively means left. Like the word yad means left hand. You understand that? In other words, the Gemara wants there to be a positive identifier of small, but the Torah doesn't use the word small. But what it does have, or in Yeshayahu, it does have is yamin and yad. So when if I took a dictionary out and I translated the word yad in Yeshayahu, what would it mean? Left. That's what it would mean. It doesn't mean arm anymore. It means left arm. Okay? Or left. Right? Is that clear? Okay. So far, it's a simple step. Okay, again, you want a positive expression of yad. The Torah doesn't give us anything. It doesn't say small. So what do we say? What says v'hayelachos al yadcha? Oh, well, I'll go look in Yeshayahu, and what do I see? I see yamin, I see yad. So the word yad must therefore mean left. That's the definition of it. In the dictionary, it means left. It does. But not here. Well, that's a nach. Yeah. Problem. Now, why is yad imino going to, of course, be a problem now? Because if the word yad, if I look in the dictionary and the word yad means left, then it's nonsensical. It can't be. There's a pasuk that makes no sense. You understand? So now what Gersley's saying is the only answer you can give. Right? It's not that yad means left. There's, okay, meaning what?
Wait, so it says not right?
One second.
The default hand, when it says yadel, it means any hand. It just means hand with no swab. Why can't you say it's
just, what do we see for that? Yad Yamino means that there is no way now we can say that the word yad means left. So the Gemara is going to have to set, Tanakama is going to have to settle. What do you mean by settle? You're going to have to say, fine, if I can't find a positive expression of yad meaning small, the next best thing is to say, as long as yamin's present, and it has the word yad, what do I know about yad? Not right. No. Not left. Not right.
For example, if I was growing the third arm on my...
If the word yad means left, right? The word yad means left, correct? Then the pasuk of yad imino makes no sense. It can't be. So you only have one other option, right? If I can't find the word yad to mean left... What I can tell you is that the word yad can mean not right. Now.
That was really hard.
No. That's hard? Or that hard? All right. Now, what about the next one? The next one says what? The next one says, this is tricky, right? What do we see? We see that people normally write with their right. So now I go ahead and have to put tefillin on my left arm. Because if I use my right arm to put my... If I use a tefillin on my right arm, and I have to use my right hand to put it on, we'll have a logistical nightmare. Right? How's that going to work? You got to... It's impossible. Right? So what's the Gemara telling us? This guy, right? Second guy. Remember, this is all trying to figure out left. Right? The left arm. This guy's saying he's even weaker, so to speak, than Tanakama. Right? Because he's saying there's really no idea... Right, no idea whatsoever. There's no value in quotes of putting on your left arm, right? Rather, the essential thing is that how's the halacha structured? The halacha structure that when I do my ma'isa hanacha, which is the essence of tefillin, right? It's done on this arm. But what's the essential part? Yes. Ah. Okay. I anticipated that question. Yeah. Gersley.
Isn't the essence of...
But didn't we say all along that the whole point is to be adorned in tefillin? To be hanachad? What he's saying is that the ma'isa is hanachah with my right arm. The left is simply the table setting. There's, I got to put my tefillin somewhere to be hanachad. But there's nothing about it being my left arm that has any importance whatsoever.
Well, it sounds like maybe you could say that this doesn't work with short time, but...
That's going to be Rav Nassan. Because Rav Nassan's going to say, obviously Rav Nassan's going to say, there's something about the left arm that's different, weaker, whatever. But he's looking for something in the left arm. But this guy's not saying that. He's saying that you need an arm to have your tefillin munachdan. Well, unfortunately, you got to do the hanacha with your right, so we left alone on the arm. Your left. But there's nothing in the arm itself. You understand? So the essence is being munacht, not on that, not on the left arm. You know what I mean? It's just the fact that it's your left is simply the table setting for the state of hanacha. Again, using Mordechai's example, if I had six arms, right? My right arm, I do my hanacha on. I could pick any one of those other arms to do my hanacha on, as long as I'm defined at the end as being munacht and tefillin.
Let's see if you practically put it on
your. Let me put. That's a better way to put it. When the second I when Rav Nachman comes along, you know what he says? I got two arms in front of me that I could put my tefillin on. They're both good. Ah, but I got to do the ma'aseh hanacha with my right. So therefore, I'm left with only one other arm to use. But don't look at it as right and left arms. Look at it as arms. You understand what I'm saying? It's not that you're righty or lefty. I have two arms. One happens to be here. One happens to be here. So he's saying, oh, since I'm using this one to do hanacha, I'm only left with this one to put my tefillin on. I got nothing left. No other option. But it doesn't mean it's something about being left. The last guy, he's the weird one. Because what does he say? He says there's something about the left arm. It's weaker. Right? What's that idea? What's that idea?
The last guy?
Yeah, last guy.
You know why he wants his name.
Wait. Say again?
Well, we know obviously why he wants his name, right?
Yeah.
Because A is the A to Z thing, right?
Yeah, correct. So we can develop the conceptual idea, okay? What are you saying if you say it's the weaker arm? What's he showing you? That's very interesting. He's not saying, again, also be careful. He's still not saying it's.
He's going back to the actual question.
Is it? But if that's true, what case are you going to have to deal with? So it can't be intrinsic. You understand? That's where the danger is. If you say it can only be the left arm, then what is the lefty? If you're saying that weakness is an intrinsic quality in the left arm, then how can a lefty ever put on tefillin? Lefties are out.
Well, no, you could say left is always defined as the normal weakness.
I think we'll take this. I have to give you the Tosfos and the Shita Mekumetzis on this. Yes.